We pray. Heavenly Father, you who fill creation, we pray, fill our hearts with the joy of your love, with the assurance of your grace, with the power of your word. Fill us to overflowing that we may live and be aglow for you, to bring praise and honor to your holy name. In Christ our Savior, amen. Has there ever been a time in the history of America where we've had investigations of campaign rigging, election rigging, where we've had investigations of the FBI, investigations of government spies in campaign headquarters? What is going on in our day and age? It makes us concerned. If those people and agencies that are to uphold our democracy, our Constitution, become corrupt, what's to happen to the rest of us? Well, as dangerous as that might be to have corruption creep in to our government, how much more dangerous is it to have corruption creep into the Christian church? Into the very heart of the place where we are to be proclaiming God's word. Satan doesn't care which false doctrine we latch onto, just as long as he can poison us with some of his lies, any of his lies, because he knows where those lies will lead us. And so, back at Jeremiah's day, they had one sort of false teaching. In our day and age, there's a different one. Back in Jeremiah's day, it was often the false teaching that God was a little provincial God, just of my little hamlet or village. He would protect us, he would bless our crops, everything would go well, but should we travel outside of our region into some other part of the world, well, then we might be out of the reach and care of our God, and we might be in the territory of some other gods that might not look favorably upon us. To that false theology, God sends his word through the prophet Isaiah, or prophet Jeremiah. Am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Can anyone hide in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Today, we have kind of the opposite lie that people latch onto. That God is really a distant God. He's so far out there. He's beyond the stratosphere. He doesn't have a clue, or he doesn't care what's happening to us mere mortals in our everyday life. Just fend for yourself. And again, God comes and destroys that false theology with a simple word. Do not I fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord. That's an interesting word, fill. God is not just present everywhere, he fills heaven and earth. Kind of like air fills whatever space it's in. So God is present and fills. And since God is present everywhere, he also hears everything from our lips to his ear. God is his own witness when evil humans distort or twist, deny his holy word. Oh, there's all kinds of impressive theologians out there with their doctorate degrees. There are positions of power at Harvard and Yale and all other institutions of learning, with great big stacks of volumes that they have authored in their own magnificent wisdom, who stand before their congregations and blaspheme God, contradict him. Oh, the Bible isn't the word of God. That's archaic. We're an enlightened people. There is no such place as hell. Huh? There's no source for absolute truth. Oh, there's many different ways to heaven besides Christianity. All those are very popular teachings these days. And then these very same theologians will give their stamp of approval on the very things that God forbids. Abortion. It's just someone's right to be able to kill someone else. Every form of sexual immorality. Or that corrosive idea that we are our own source of divine truth. Whatever seems good to us, feels good to us, must, by that definition, be pleasing to God. Well, Jeremiah warns us that God's word condemns all those who lie about God to themselves. He says, "Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces?" God's word isn't wimpy. It just doesn't sit by the curb and whine and complain. No, it's a fire. It's a hammer that will come down and crash down and burn up all those who rebel against him and have no room in their heart for the word of God, who lie to themselves and to others. And while we might not have some of those blasphemous statements coming out of our mouths, we also need to ask ourselves the question, but which lies are Satan trying to get us to buy into? And while we might not formally deny any of the teachings of Scripture, Satan's second attack on us is then simply not to apply to our lives and to our hearts what he has said in Scripture. And so on one hand, we can say it's true, but it really doesn't fit in my life. Our sinful nature comes and says, my lies aren't as bad as someone else's lies. My lustful thoughts, my greed, the anger I'm holding on to, and the hurtful things I do to others, that isn't nearly as bad as when people do it to me or someone else because, well, I have excuses. I have someone else to blame for what I do. And we con ourselves, we lie to ourselves, and God is the witness to our lies. Somehow we are the great exception to God's Ten Commandments. Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? A hammer and fire can be used to destroy, but it also can be used to build up and refine. God comes with his Ten Commandments, the hammer of his word, and cracks us open like a coconut. And there exposes all the hidden sins inside, exposes them to the light of God's holy word. And with that, he's actually starting a reconstruction process to get us to see our sins without excuse, without rationalization. And then he comes with his glorious gospel to wash those sins away and give us new life. Hammers are very wonderful tools. They not only smash, but they build. They nail boards together and doors and windows and roofs so that we have a place to live. God has come, and through his almighty word, he has created this temporary world for us to live in. The Word made flesh, Jesus, came to create an eternal home for us in heaven, to build it with his own blood, his own sweat, his own toil, his own accomplishments. The Holy Spirit has come to take us, wrecks of sin, and transform us into the temples for the living God, to clear out the old rubbish of our sins and create a new person of faith inside, that we might be someone pleasing in God's sight, a child of God, baptized and washed clean and built all anew. Oh, the fire of God comes and it incinerates those who refuse to believe and listen to his word, but that hot word of God also purifies. It removes all the impurities from our thinking and our emotions and our doing by the power of that word. Nothing stops Satan's lies quicker from burrowing into our heart of hearts than the word of God. Thus says the Lord. Still carries divine fire in it. And it causes us to stop up short and say, I might think this, but the Lord of heaven and earth disagrees with me. And therein is power. The Holy Spirit uses that word to create us anew and plant a fire of faith in our hearts, a burning desire to live for Him who has ransomed and rescued us, a firm faith to trust with all of our hearts what He has proclaimed in His Word. That's the building work of the Holy Spirit. And so for God's people, He says, let the one who has my word speak it faithfully. God calls for every believer to proclaim God's word faithfully, completely, without adding our thoughts to it and not subtracting His truth from it, but from cover to cover, that it might be ours and be on our hearts and in our souls. We first and foremost must faithfully speak it to ourselves, each and every one of us, to allow God's word to truly convict us of our sins. We are sinners. Who are we trying to kid? But to let God point out those sins that we might repent of them and turn from them, and to let God's gospel truly wash us clean and give us peace, that God's good news of a Savior might wrap us and fill us and own us in His grace, in His mercy, that we might be wholly His. God's presence is in His people, in His holy church. And His word only remains faithfully proclaimed as long as God's people faithfully embrace it in their hearts and souls, that it might be sacred word of God. And we hold it dear with all of our might. May the light of God's word fill us to overflowing and fill through us out into the world for 1,000 more generations. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Heavenly Father, work your good and gracious will through your powerful word. For with a word you created this world, and with a word you created faith in our souls. So guide us ever onward. May we be eager to hear your name, hear your word, and follow where you lead. Bless us, strengthen us, now and forever, in your grace and goodness. Amen.